This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Neil Aton Lee Mosque, Islamic chaplain at Curtin University and the University of Western Australia. Sheikh Yahya is a Canadian by birth, Egyptian through ancestry, Turkish via marriage, and Australian by choice of residence and migration. In 2013, Sheikh Yahya was awarded by the West Australian government an Individual Excellence Award in serving the diverse Western Australia multicultural community. He has been profiled in the Australian Government Initiative, Sharing Our Achievements, Mosaic of Nations. Sheikh Yahya was also a selected facilitator for the federal government's Muslim Community Reference Group for the Conference of Australian Imams. So without further delay, Sheikh Yahya, are you there?
Yes, okay. And mashallah, jazakallah khair. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك على عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. It's a pleasure and an honor to be able to join with my dear brothers and sisters under, mashallah, the initiative and the organization of Tertib Press, one of the most prolific and newer publishing houses coming out of Malaysia, but mashallah, its barakah is reaching all of the different parts of the world. I'm honored to have some of my works published with them and to have this time where we come together in commemoration, in celebration, in love, in learning of the sunnah and the tradition of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. The topic that was chosen is a beautiful topic. Until I get to see Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and subhanallah, the promise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to us is true. He said to us sallallahu alaihi wasallam while he was standing on his pulpit 1400 some odd years ago in Al-Madina, he said, "Wa inni ara al-hawd." It is as if I can see my pond, my lake on the day of judgment. And you will be waridu, you will meet me there. I will meet you at Al-Hawd. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us the honor to be given something to drink from the blessed hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tells us that he will give our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam honor throughout his life, into his death, on the day of judgment, on the day of our resurrection, and as we enter Jannah. And one of the honors bestowed upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that those who have believed in him and committed themselves in submission to the truth with a determined effort to follow his example, to be led by his words, to model his behavior, to love what he loved, to despise what he despised, to be near what he was near, to be far from what he was far from, to value what he valued, to push away what he pushed away from, that they will be brought closer to him on the day of Qiyamah. And the Prophet ﷺ said that on the day of judgment, the Kawthar and the Hawd, Aniyah, the cups that are near it, is greater than the number of the stars. There will be so many people, like when you look up into the heaven, it's not greater than the numbers of stars created, but greater than the number of stars you see when you look out at night. So many, you don't know how many there are. And each of those cups is dedicated for one of his followers. SubhanAllah, this is a great inspiration to me and you. But also in a similar hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says that there will be people who will seek to come close, seek to drink from my Kawthar. And I will say to the angels, innahum min ummati, these people are from my nation, let them come. Why are you driving them away? And the angels will say to me, innaka la tadri ma ahdathu min ba'dik. Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are unaware of the heresy the religious innovations that are denounced that they put in place after you departed from them. They changed from their habits that they were meant to maintain after you, in tradition of you and in love of you, Ya Rasulullah. The Prophet ﷺ said, suhqan, such is their damnation, such is their pushing away, then do keep them away from me until his shafa'a, his intercession on their behalf, finally reaches them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from as-sabiqoon as-sabiqoon. May Allah make us from al-muqarrabun, those who are near to him, near to Allah in our practice in the dunya, so that we can be near to him in the akhirah and be of those who enter Jannah first and foremost with him. What a wonderful sight it would be to be gathered in the zumrah of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The 39th chapter of the Quran is Surah Az-Zumar, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the believers will be put in one group, in one pack, in one nation, and they will be brought forward, and the angels will say, Salamun alaykum, tibtum fadkhuluha khalidin. Salamun alaykum, you've done well. You've lived a good life in the dunya, so you deserve an eternal happiness in the akhirah. Udkhuluha, enter into this Jannah, khalidin, forever in it. Allahumma ameen. May Allah make you and I of them, bi'idhnihi wa karamihi wa fadlihi subhanahu wa ta'ala. What an awesome, awesome spectacle it would be to be gathered in the rank, to stand behind our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to be blessed with his shafa'a and his dua on the Day of Judgment, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in the hadith of Abi Sa'id al-Khudri, the hadith in al-Bukhari, that on the Day of Judgment, that the nations will go from one prophet and messenger to another. They will go from Adam and Ibrahim and Nuh and Musa and Isa, until finally when they arrive to Isa, he will say, اذهبوا إلى محمد فإنه لها. Go to Muhammad, this place, this rank, al-maqam al-mahmud, the loftiest station is only reserved for Muhammad on this day. He's the first, ana awwalu shafi'in wa mushaffa'. He's the first to speak on behalf of humanity, on behalf of his ummah, on behalf of his community, and to lay before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an intercession and a plea and a dua to save us. In fact, that dua is being saved by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam since he was given the blessing of al-Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the authentic hadith, in kullan nabiyun, all of the prophets of Allah expended and made their dua. Every prophet, lahu da'watun mustajaba. They have one dua, when they make it, it's always answered by Allah. فَدَعَ بِهَا النَّبِيُّونَ, all of the prophets, all of the messengers made the dua to Allah. إِلَّا أَنَا, except I. اِخْتَبَأْتُ دَعْوَتِي شَفَاعَةً لِأُمَّتِي. I hid my dua. I kept it with me. I kept it close so that it can be my shafa'a for my ummah on the Day of Judgment, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala habibina Muhammad. May Allah make him the beloved to our heart as he was beloving and loving to us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He restricted himself from dua for himself, dua to profit him and the sahaba of his time, but he wanted it for the entirety of humanity and his nation. And therefore the hadith of Abi Sa'id al-Khudri is powerful. So the nations will then listen to Jesus and come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they will say, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ishfa' lana inda rabbik. Ask your Lord to show us compassion and mercy on this day. Speak on our behalf. Fa'akulu ana laha. And the Prophet says, I will say, I am worthy of this. I am going to do this for you. Let me ask my Lord to show us greater mercy. So I will approach al-arsh. فَأَسْجُدُ بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ, and I will make a sujood before Allah. فَيَلْهِمَنِ اللَّهُ مَحَامِدَ لَمْ يَحْمَدْهُ بِهَا أَحَدًا مِّن قَبْلِي وَلَا مِّن بَعْدِ. I will be prostrate before Allah and I will begin to invoke Allah in a way that he will put into my heart to ask him through these words, that no prophet, no messenger, no human being, no creation of God has ever used this way of petition, this way of invoking Allah. Until Allah will say, Irfa' ra'sak, Ya Muhammad, raise your head. Wasal tu'ta, and ask me, I will grant you. Washfa' tushaffa', and if you speak on behalf of others, those who I put in your heart to ask on their behalf, it will be answered and granted for you, Ya Muhammad. And then the Prophet makes us a promise, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ, by the one who controls the soul of Muhammad, that I will continue to petition Allah, continue to make shafa'ah, continue to make dua to Allah, to exit from Jahannam, to exit from punishment, every believer who has even a mustard seed of faith in their heart. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's a huge sign of a hadith that is collected in the Sahih, where it says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made us a promise. He said, وَجَبَتْ شَفَاعَتِي لِأَهْلِ الْكَبَائِرِ مِنْ أُمَّتِي. My shafa'ah is incumbent, and I will not leave behind even those whose sins were in the major categories in their life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the major sins, and therefore make us of those who are foremost to the shafa'ah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah allow us to return from our sins so that we are worthy of the honored standing between ourselves and our Creator and Maker, Jalla fi ula subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until we see Muhammad, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow our eyes to see him in the next life, as we are not able to see him in this dunya in our wakeful state. And may Allah allow us a vision of our heart and soul in our dreams and ru'ya of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow our hearts to see the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reflected in our life, reflected in our behavior, reflected in the attitudes of our children, reflected in the words that we invoke Allah with, the prayers and the devotions that we consume and that we maintain as a lifestyle moving forward. Allahumma ameen. With that introduction, it becomes important for us to begin to focus our attention on what it is that we seek from Allah and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as in regards to the sunnah. Not just why, we've qualified why. All of us as Muslims, we know we have a love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the love for our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a love in the heart, that even those who are sinful, even those who are distracted, even those who make their mistakes, that when the name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned, their heart moves and their tongue says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That when they have wronged themselves, they remember that they still have an opportunity, if they come back to his way, to correct their affairs. And they ask of his advice all the way back from 1400 years ago to correct mistakes that we have performed today. And I wanted, inshallah, to have a methodology of our discussion, inshallah, over the next 30-40 minutes, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. I wanted first to speak about the courage that is necessary and needed to be a follower of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I want you to understand that courage is not something that is easy to come by. Courage is not something that is the default position of a human being. Courage requires effort, energy, and an intentional determination to shift one's emotion from fear, one's psychological state from fear, one's assumptions of fear, to ones of overcoming and resilience in the face of difficult odds. Courage is necessary to be successful. And subhanAllah, the first category we will speak about is the courage to succeed as a believer and as a submitter in Allah and the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number two, I want to speak about actualizing and practicalizing the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it's not just alive in the words of the books and the hadith and the seerah, but rather that it is embodied and a living tradition in our behavior and habits today. And third and finally, a warning to those who stray from the well-lit, well-trodden, well-traveled path of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Let's begin speaking about courage. Courage is hard, subhanAllah. Wallahi, to have courage is an enormity. It is a difficulty. And most of us in general have a sense of cowardice that we're not aware of our cowardice. See, it's very easy to do what everybody else is doing. It's very easy to just blend in. It's very easy to not challenge a status quo that is unjust and unfair. It's very easy to turn the other way when you see somebody else in trouble that you don't want to get mixed up into it, although you know that your voice can make a difference. It's much easier to fail than to be successful in your studies, in life, with your family. It's much easier to remain angry and resentful and not challenge the things that have brought us to that feeling and state. It's much easier to avoid a confrontation than to confront something that, if you solve it, will give you happiness moving forward. It's much easier for a husband and wife to just say, we're not going to have that difficult conversation, and to brood with anger for a day, a week, a month, and more. May Allah protect us. It's much easier to overlook a mistake of our children and just assume it'll correct itself, or they will outgrow it, or things will change, or just give them time, than to actually come to a point of intervention where it is coming from different places and different angles to make a difference and provide a change of paradigm. It's much easier to blame our inconsistencies and failures on others and not hold ourselves accountable and have muhasabah. It's much easier to assume that later on I will become a better Muslim and my prayers will become better. I just need to get married. I just need to get a job. I just need to be on my own. Inshallah, it's just, you know, just a matter of time when I get my act together. It's just easier to assume that things will change without us having to put in that determined effort. And it takes courage. It takes courage to hold yourself in blame. It takes courage to center yourself on a path of righteousness that's difficult to follow. It takes courage to lose weight or to make a decision in your academic study or to change your career or to change your savings plan. It takes courage to move from one neighborhood to another because that is what is going to be better for your children. It takes courage to change careers midlife. And subhanAllah, sometimes it is that moment of courage that we take as a reflection from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ that brings about the best change in our life. Imagine how much courage it took for the prophets of Allah of the past to overcome their fears. And I want to keep not just like a da'wah claim, but I wanted to have some sense of, discussion that has a little bit of academia in it as well. Fear from a human construct, psychologists will tell you, and in the most recent kind of discussions you will find is in 2012, you found Dr. Carl Albershit. He spoke about the hierarchy of fear and that fear really can be broken into five categories. There's five things that all things that human beings are afraid of can fall into, are funneled into these five things, just these five things. There's the fear of extinction, the fear of death, the fear of the end. SubhanAllah, it's a human experience. There is the fear of mutilation or being harmed, that something happens to your body, that there's illness, that there is injury. There is fear of the loss of autonomy, that your liberty, your freedom will be taken from you, and that you won't be able to be given choice in the things that you want to have choice in. There is number four, the fear of separation, the fear of emotionally, psychologically, physically being rejected, abandoned, not being wanted by your peers, by friends, by culture, by your tribe, by your community, by your country. There's the fear of being segmented from the greater body. And there's also, finally, the fear of our ego's injury and death. There's fear for our pride. There's fear of being humiliated, of being shamed, of losing our standing in society, in culture, in community. And all of those five categories of fear, anything that you're afraid of comes under them. Now, subhanAllah, each one of those fears, and I look forward to writing about it and lecturing more about this in the future, each one of those fears is in particularly addressed in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And all of the prophets that are mentioned in the Quran, Allah shows us one of the points of fear that they had, or a multiple of them, where they encountered these constructs of fear, and Allah gave them the mechanism to overcome it. Fear holds us ransom, holds us hostage. And the only one that can ransom us is ourselves. It's our courage. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the moment revelation was sent to him, he was fearful. In fact, what's the first picture that we have of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that he came off the mountain. He was so anxious, so nervous about what he's shaking. He says, Zammiluni. Cover me up, cloak me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Cover me up. Zammiluni, dathiruni, cover me up. And Khadija radiallahu anha, Allah uses her to quell his fear. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alam yajidka yateeman fa'awa, wa wajadaka dalan fa'hada, wa wajadaka a'ilan fa'aghna, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of those are different types of fear. Yatiman fa'awa, you were cut off, separated. Isn't that how they used to try to ridicule Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Innaka abtar, you've been cut off, your children are dying, you're worthless, ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah says, inna a'tainaka al-kawthar, fasalli li rabbika wanhar, inna shani'aka. Those who say this about you, they will be the ones cut off from my mercy. So all of the things that are elements of fear, the Prophet ﷺ is taught by Allah, taught through the circumstances of life to develop resilience, what we refer to as sabr. Sabr is interchangeable with courage, because what is courage? Courage is being able to hold on longer than others, being able to go further than others, being able to enter where others run away from, that you go forward to it for a better outcome and a better cause for yourself, family, and community. And courage, of course, is infectious. Courage is something that when people see it, it leads them towards it. And each and every one of the prophets of Allah in the Quran, they encounter these five fears and Allah helps them through it. Musa stands before Allah. He's speaking with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى. Go to Pharaoh. He has exceeded the bounds. Subhanallah. In one chapter, in one set of verses, Allah says that Musa says, "Inni qataltu minhum nafsan, fa akhafu an yaqtulun." Oh Allah, there was one of their men that I brought his death. His death was upon my hands, and I'm afraid if I go back, as Allah tells us in Surah Qasas, when he left, kharaja minha khaifan yatarakab. He's looking around. He's terrified. He's scared. They're going to catch me. So he says, "Oh Allah, I'm scared that if I go back, that they will kill me. The moment they see me, my life is forfeit." قُلْنَا لَا تَخَفْ. Don't be scared. Subhanallah. لَا تَخَافَ. You and Harun, don't be scared. Both of them were scared. Dawood عليه السلام فَأَوْجَسَ فِي نَفْسِهِ خِيفَ. He got scared. The one who killed Jalut, the one who slayed Goliath, had a moment of fear. Ibrahim, when he saw the three angels, he doesn't know they're angels in the form of men. فَأَوْجَسَ فِي نَفْسِهِ خِيفَةً. He was fearful. فَلَمَّا رَأَى أَيْدِيَهُمْ لَا تَصِلُ إِلَيْهِمْ أَوْجَسَ فِي نَفْسِهِ خِيفَ. He was fearful inside. Musa alayhi salam, when the sahara, the magicians began to throw in their magic, وَجَاءُوا بِسِحْرٍ عَظِيمٍ, Allah says, فَأَوْجَسَ فِي نَفْسِهِ خِيفَةً مُوسَى. Inside, Musa was fearful. قُلْنَا لَا تَخَفْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْأَعْلَى. Don't be scared. You will be supreme today by the power that I will show through you, ya Musa. So fear is a natural emotion that is an emotional, psychological, and physiological state that needs to be overcome when it does not prevent us from from danger and self-harm. Now, of course, when a person mixes between danger and fear, they enter into a place where they leave off the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. One of the most important central focus of the sunnah is to develop courage and resilience, sabr, within the community of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It takes courage to wake up in the morning, 4:30 in the morning for Salat al-Fajr here in Perth is 4:30, 4:45 in the morning. It takes courage for you to wake yourself up, your family, when you know your children, they might have a test that day, and you might think in your mind, if they sleep, they will perform better on their test. You might think in your mind, oh, I have a big meeting, I need my rest. I was up, doing my work. If I wake up for Fajr, no, I better just sleep until 7 and then get ready. Allah ghafoor rahim. No. Subhanallah. The sunnah gives us this sense of courage. It gives us a sense of dependence and tawakkul upon Allah. That those who are courageous are not those who are haphazard, those who go beyond the true limitations. Rather, they are those who prefer the sunnah to the state of other. Why is courage so central in the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ? Because it comes from that very base of La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah of Tawheed. Today, it is easier to water down Islam. It is easier to be a Muslim by name than a Muslim by practice. It is easier to camouflage in broader society, Western society, even Islamic society. It is better to camouflage yourself with a greater majority who may not be upon the truth. And we have a statement from the ulama, أنت الجماعة وإن كنت وحدك على الحق. You are the majority, even if you are singularly the only one adhering to the truth. Subhanallah. The majority was never for us by numbers. Muhammad ﷺ was never more in number. أكثر جمعة. They used to say, who has more numbers, Ya Muhammad? You or us, right? In Surah Maryam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala condemns this ideology and thought that it's not by how many people, but it's by you adhering to the distinctness of the sunnah. The Prophet ﷺ said, بَدَأَ الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبٌ. Islam, its very origin, produces distinctness. It makes you special. وَسَيَعُودُ كَمَا بَدَأَ. Islam, it will return to that specialness, that distinct quality where there's a few people who remain distinct that you can see that they are different to others. فَطُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَاء. What a joy awaits those who have this distinctness. They said, Ya Rasulullah, man al-ghuraba? Qala alladhina yatamassakuna bisunnati. They are those who will hold on to my path of life. They are those who will hold on to the book of Allah, the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. In another riwayah, عند فساد الناس, when others go off in corruption, in falling off a path of truth. So the Prophet ﷺ, he sets that as a beautiful ideal, a beautiful example. Peace and blessings be upon our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the most important aspects of conceptualizing this courage that is needed to adhere to the truth is the very element of La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah. Sadly, amongst us as Muslims, there is this failing attempt to separate between Muhammad ﷺ and the construct of our worship of Allah and our submission to Allah Azza wa Jal. And ibadah is tawqifiyya. Ibadah is not something that's open. It is something that is confined just to the demeanor, the habit, and the practice of the Prophet ﷺ. And the one who adds what wasn't preceded by the order, the instruction, and the teaching of the Prophet ﷺ is one who has gone off the path. And they are those who set themselves, وَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ, even though they may assume they're doing good, a path that leads away from that which will bring them happiness and contentment in the dunya and akhirah. And it takes courage to adhere to the truth. One of the things that distinguishes the believers is how familiar Muslims are in general with the life of the Prophet ﷺ. If I was to ask a Muslim anywhere in the world, young or old, what do Muslims eat first when they are fasting? What do Muslims eat first in the month of Ramadan to break their fast? There's no, you can be in Iceland, you can be in Australia, you can be in Africa, you can be in the heartland of China, and you are invited to a Muslim's home, a Muslim's place to break your fast, it is a guarantee that you will find dates on the table. Why? Because we value Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We value this great Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There will always be that living embodiment, that living culture of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we want to take it out of it just being the ritualization into the internalization that brings the rituals into full bloom. And this is really the second discussion. You know, how do we make the sunnah relevant? How do we contemporalize, contextualize, make applicable the tradition, the habit, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our modern lifestyle? And, you know, subhanAllah, when you turn on your car, it's the sunnah to say, Bismillah wallahu akbar. You say, how are you saying sunnah? To enter your car, you open your door and you enter into it, you say, Bismillah wallahu akbar. Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha wa ma kunna. Where do you get this from? Where is the hadith that says when the Prophet entered the car, he said this? La, there's no hadith. But the concept of putting into practice the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ in his modes of transport, in entering into a place, exiting into a place, the dua that the Prophet ﷺ was always doing was something that is applicable in all times and in all circumstances. So whether I'm getting on a plane or getting in a car or riding on a camel, my dua of Bismillah, of saying Allahu Akbar, of Subhanalladhi Sakhara Lana, all of these become applicable because of my mentality that the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ runs my life. That concept becomes really important, that you and I need to be always on the lookout for ways to apply the tradition of the Prophet ﷺ outwardly. And more important is to connect with its wording and its practice internally. Why are you saying Allahu Akbar? Why do you say Allahu Akbar? What does that word mean? How does that affect my internal commitment to Allah? One of the issues that I always like to address with my students, especially in my high school students, younger Muslims, is to speak to them about salah, the movements of salah, the words that are ordered for us to make when we're in salah, and to give them an understanding of how it fits together, why it fits together. What is it that allows a person to pray better than they had prayed previously? The famous hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, you and I know it, right? The Prophet ﷺ was sitting in the masjid and a man came in and he saw the Prophet sitting and he wants to say salam, he wants to sit with Rasulullah, he wants to chill, relax with Rasulullah ﷺ. So he comes into the masjid and he prays two rak'ah quickly, because you don't sit in the masjid until you fulfill this sunnah, tahiyyatul masjid, you greet the masjid. You honor yourself through prayer by giving your devotion to Allah. So the man, he prays, but he prays. And he comes and says, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, As-salamu alaykum, O Messenger of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ doesn't respond to the salam. He says, Irji' fasalli, fa'innaka lam tusalli. Go back and pray, because you didn't pray properly. فَرَجَعَ الرَّجُلْ فَصَلَّى كَمَا صَلَّى. He prayed the way he had prayed before and kind of runs back to that. As-salamu alayhi, and the Prophet, irja. Finally, on the third time, he says, عَلِّمْنِي يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. What am I doing wrong? Teach me. So the Prophet ﷺ does not critique just his physical. The man, it wasn't that the man wasn't doing sujood or he wasn't doing ruku'ah. He's doing all the movements. But the Prophet ﷺ says, when you stand before Allah, faskun, find your internal quiet. Be tranquil. وَإِذَا رَكَعْتَ, when you make ruku'ah, faskun, find your tranquility. وَإِذَا سَجَدْتَ, when you make your sujood, faskun, take your time. Don't rush your prayer. Let your inside submit with the physical movement you are making on the outside. The man went and prayed and then came back according to the Prophet ﷺ, and he was greeted by the Prophet ﷺ. He had been taught to pray correctly. That the prayer is not just the functioning of the form, the movement being done, but rather that the prayer is done with the spirit intended for us in the heart by Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. It's for this reason that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم shares with us the conversation of Surah Al-Fatiha that you and I have with Allah, that you're signing almost a contract and a covenant with Allah. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. That's the essence of your prayer. The essence of the prayer is Salat Al-Fatiha. لا صلاة بلا فاتحة. Without Fatiha, there's no Salah. But the essence of the Fatiha is that declaration. You're making that promise. You're signing that contract. Only you, Allah, do I worship. Only you do I pay attention. Only you do I seek help from. So how can you be praying when moments before it, in the day, in the hours before it, where you commit yourself to the worship of Allah, to submitting yourself to Allah, aslam to wajhi lillah, that you've actually taken a path that leads you away from Allah? How can Allahu Akbar be meaningful when moments ago you did not make Allah great? You chose to follow and practice something different to what He ordered. You willfully chose to do that which is wrong. So now this Allahu Akbar is an outward statement unless you reconcile it in your heart. And therefore, before you approach Salah, you cleanse yourself with wudu as an act of tawbah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says to us that when a person performs wudu, their sins begin to fall with the drops of water, even from their eyelashes, even from beneath their fingernails. Even from beneath your fingernails, your sins begin to melt away. Why? Because you're going to stand in front of Allah. It's a declaration. You are greater, Allah. Oh Allah, I will cleanse myself. I will find the direction of prayer. I will be in a clean place. I will submit with niyyah to you. And now, Allahu Akbar, I begin my salah. The sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is meant to be on the inside for us to be able to visualize it and practice it on the outside. The Prophet ﷺ, his lifestyle was an inward lifestyle. Look at the dua that Salama, his wife, radiallahu anha wa ardaha, says was the most often spoken dua by the Prophet in her presence, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She didn't hear any dua more than this dua. Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deen. O Allah, who turns the heart, make my heart, make my intentions, make my inside firm upon your faith, upon your practice, upon this deen. Oh Allah, keep me committed to this way, not just outwardly. There were people who prayed at the time of the Prophet ﷺ with the outward motions, but their heart was empty. We call them al-munafiqoon. وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَ. When they stand before God in their prayer, they stand lazily, sluggishly. وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. That they remember God seldom, سبحانه وتعالى. مُذَبْذَبِينَ. They're shaky, not here, not there. They don't have a commitment inwardly. And therefore the sunnah is an internal stability. It is meant to be an internalized, faithful appreciation of Allah. Internalize faithful appreciation of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is meant to be an internal commitment to our Maker, our Creator, Jalla fi ula, so that when we begin with our ibadah on the inside, we can put it into practice on the outside. And sadly, there are many of us who masquerade on the outside, and the inside is hollow. I continue to remember one of our sisters. May Allah give her comfort and ease. You know, she said, Sheikh, I married a fajr beard. I said, I'm sorry, sister, what do you mean? You know, she was having trouble with the family and separation and divorce. She said, Sheikh, I can't go on like this. I married the fajr beard. And I said, I don't understand. She said, what I mean is that the brother, when I saw him, his beard is full. Nobody would keep a beard like that. Nobody would dress the way he dresses and not pray fajr. Like, What makes you have this beard if you're not a person who can push your blankets off you and pray Salatul Fajr? And I'm not saying, Sheikh, that he misses it once or twice. He doesn't pray Fajr. He can't do it. He's every day, he's missing it. I married the beard. I married the image. I didn't marry the inside of a person who I thought was committed to Allah. And subhanAllah, that becomes a very, very important step for us to adhere to the sunnah, that we can profit to be able to visualize and see Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the akhirah and be in his rank on account of our love for him. See, the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not a love of emotion. It is a love of proof and showing our adherence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ, say to them, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. If you claim to love Allah, follow me. What about if you claim to love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? If the love of Allah is evidenced by you following the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what then is the following of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam except the love of Allah and the love of the message? Peace and blessings be upon him. In the authentic hadith, one of the Sahaba, as he was sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he got up to go back home for a few minutes. And as he left the masjid, a few minutes went by and he returned weeping and sobbing, crying. The Prophet ﷺ said, Ma bik, Ya Rajul, what's wrong with you, my good man? He said, Ya Rasulullah, Inni uhibbuk, I love you. The Prophet ﷺ said, Uhkum ma taqul, be careful with what you say. He said, O Messenger of Allah, tadhakkartu yawman, I remember the day where I will die. And when I am on that day of judgment, you are antaman, you know, you are who you are. You are the Messenger of Allah. You are in al-maqam al-mahmud. You are ma'an nabiyyin. You are in the highest levels of al-firdaus. And I'm just me. I'm just an ordinary guy. And I thought to myself that I may never see you again, may never sit with you like this again. I may never experience this blessing of being in your presence and smelling your fragrance and hearing your words. And it devastated me and he began to cry. Wallahi inni la uhibbuka ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, I truly love you. And the Prophet ﷺ said, after receiving revelation, Allah reveals this revelation, that the one who obeys Allah, من يطع الله والرسول, and they obey the messenger internally, that leads them externally. فأولئك, they will be, they are the ones chosen. مع الذين أنعم الله عليهم, they will be from those whom Allah has favored. من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين, they will be in the rank of the prophets and the acceptors of truth, and the martyrs, and the righteous. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, تَكُونُ مَعَ مَنْ تُحِبْ, you will always be with those you love most. And therefore, if your heart inside loves the dunya, that's where you are. If your heart loves vice and sinfulness, that's where you are. If your heart is full of infatuation to slanderous music and sinful images and video, if your heart is inclined to obscenity, this is what you love, this is what you're connected to, then that is where your abode eventually resides. But if your heart is connected to the house of Allah, if your heart is in love of attending the prayers in jama'ah, if your heart is connected to improving your Quran, its recitation, its understanding, its meaning, its practice, and its teaching to others, if your heart is connected to helping the poor, those you know and those you don't, if your heart is charitable and your face is generous with smile, if you are a giver more than you are a taker, if you are patient and resilient when fitna strikes, if you are one who is able to show to others the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ in your words, demeanor, practice, and habit, and you do that because you love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you will find yourself in his rank. Al-mar'u ma'a man yuhib. May Allah make us true lovers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, proven through our conduct and practice. Finally, I wanted to leave with a warning. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from straying from the path of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ilzam as-sunnah. Be strict with the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And I'm not speaking about the sunnah of ritual and practice. I'm speaking about the sunnah of compassion, love, and mercy. I'm speaking about the sunnah of endurance and resilience and faithfulness. I'm speaking about the sunnah of talking less and hearing more. I'm speaking about the sunnah of establishing a regular habit of reading the Quran and deliberating on its meaning and teaching it to others. I'm speaking about the sunnah of staying at home with your family more than being out. I'm talking about the sunnah of being in the service of your wife and your children, being in the service of your husband, being an obedient wife, an obedient child and daughter and son. I'm talking about giving your commitment to others because of your commitment to Allah. I'm talking about you forgiving the one who wronged you and showing generosity to the one who restricted from you, and loving the unlovable for the sake of Allah, seeking the love of Allah through it, not because they're worthy. The sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ was not to turn the other cheek and be abused, but it was to put on a resistance of love, to love the aggressor more than they have shown us. Idfa' billati, push back vulgarity and obscenity and harm with that which is better than what you received. The Prophet ﷺ was not the one who ever instigated harm upon others in an undeserved capacity. The Prophet ﷺ was a freer and a liberator, was one who gave people the opportunity and the autonomy to choose right from wrong after being able to convince them and show them what is right, that everyone was left to their own conscious of being and to the step that it would take to eventually rise to a level of practice. The sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is not one that is easy to be modeled if one does not begin from the heart. So I warn myself and you, I command you by the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ. O you who believe, be mindful, be fearful, be conscious of Allah in the way that He is most worthy, not just what you think you're able to give, in the most appreciative way of Allah. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. And do not separate from this life in any condition other than a willful, voluntary submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I leave you with inspirational words from Allah in the Quran and from statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to explain it to us in the Sunnah. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah says to us through him in the Quran, him delivering the message, مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولِ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. The one who shows obedience to the Messenger of God is in fact obeying Allah. وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. It is not befitting any believing man, any believing woman, that when Allah has given a verdict and a decision, or His Messenger has given an instruction, that a believer should have any variance in their heart or any other opinion other than what is given by God and His Messenger, وَيُسَلِّمُ تَسْلِيمًا, and they submit and surrender to it wholeheartedly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He elevates our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by purifying his heart, by purifying his sight, by purifying his hearing, by purifying his narration and his words of advice. مَا زَاغَ الْبَصَرُ وَمَا طَغَى. His sight never saw that which was delusional or deceptive. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى. His words were never one of his own volition, of his own choice, when it comes to the matters of faith. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. It is a revelation revealed upon his heart from high above, that when he instructs us in the truth, it is an inspiration from Allah. His fu'ad, his heart was cleansed by Allah. In the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that Allah looked into the hearts of mankind and there was no heart that was more pure than that of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was able to withstand the revelation of the Quran that would cause a mountain to fracture and crumble. لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. If this Quran was to be revealed upon a mountain, you would see it shaking and shuddering and fracturing and pulverized under the weight of the revelation it had been received. But that which would fracture and bring down Everest could be withstood in the heart of the pure heart of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the highest standard of character. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says to us that وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, I swear by you, Ya Muhammad, and the character and ethics and morality that you have, that it is beyond an exalted standing. لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَلَى, it is not just a high standard, it is an unreachable standard except by those who seek to come and approach your character through the practice of your character, but they will never reach its height as you have mastered it. They can only approach sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the one who Allah says to us about him that he is al-uswah al-hasana. He is the most pristine, the most pure, the most regulated, the most complete, the most blessed example for you to model yourself after. Sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to practice his sunnah, to be led by his example, to be of those who adhere to his tradition, to maintain his words, and to maintain his behavior as a code of conduct for ourselves, our family, and our children. And to leave you with that, I leave three words of advice how we can actualize and learn more of his tradition and put it into practice. Number one, the one you love, you remember often and speak about. And therefore, of the most important type of discussion should be the discussions that relate the tradition of the Prophet ﷺ in our households and in our families and in our community and amongst our friends. Read about him and share about him. Learn about him and teach about him. Acquire information and knowledge about him and be able to transmit it to others. Number two, make dua for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is another way of increasing our salawat and durood, which is of self-profit for ourselves. No one is attached to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam unless you can see it in the plentifulness of their salah, durood, and salawat upon him. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. The more you mention him صلى الله عليه وسلم, the more you make dua for him صلى الله عليه وسلم, the more Allah blesses your life and opens for you doors that were closed and protects you from harm that you did not know was coming. The more you give your heart strength, your body healing, the more your dua is elevated and raised on account of your love and preference for our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet is the one who taught us that when one makes a dua for another, then the angels respond, Ameen, and to you the same. So imagine you ask Allah for peace for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 10 times at minimum is peace returned into your home. You ask Allah to grant salah and salam upon the Prophet ﷺ and his family, then it returns upon you and your home and your family, multiples upon multiples upon multiples. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us wakeful in our taslim and salawat upon the Prophet ﷺ. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallayta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Imagine in that durood, in that salah, you're not just saying it for the Prophet ﷺ and his family, but also Ibrahim and his family. Why? Because that gives you even multiples. If you're remembering Rasulullah and also the Messenger of Allah, the great Prophet Ibrahim, Abu al-Anbiya, you maximize the barakah in your home and upon your family. لازموا الصلاة على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, an increase in particular on the Thursday evenings after Maghrib and up until Asr prayer on Friday, for there is no better dua, no better dua, no better dhikr than the salah upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that period of time from Thursday evening into Salat al-Asr on Yawm al-Jumu'ah. May Allah increase our salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's the second way of bringing Muhammad into life, into our homes and families. And third and finally, defend his tradition by practicing it. Defend his way of life by letting people see it in balance, in harmony. With any place that you live, you will find his sunnah will always suit you. Fast Mondays and Thursdays. Give in charity regularly. Be plentiful in your dhikr, that your tongue is always wet with it. Read a section of the Quran in the mornings and the nights. Make your adhkar in the evenings and in the mornings. Be of those who is regular in their praying in jama'ah. Dress conservatively. Dress beautifully and conservatively. Be fragrant in your demeanor. Be smiling in your approach. Be generous in your loans to others and in giving them time to repay you. Be generous in your food and your consumption and sharing it with others in your community. Be a person who shows Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as if he is walking amongst us through your behavior and habits today. And in that is al-kifaya, and we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with a strictness and an adherence to the sunnah, the tradition, the love, and the habit, and the practice of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm honored to have had these moments with you, speaking about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about following his sunnah, being careful not to stray from it. And I'm honored that Tartib Press was my partner in having this event today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lead all of them to that which is good. May Allah increase us in al-khayr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open to us the doorways that lead us further in loving Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, practicing his tradition and his sunnah, and make us from those who are foremost in our behavior and in our akhlaq upon his methodology of practice. May we put our feet where he stood. May we be planted firmly upon the path that is well lit in its day and in its night, equally radiant, equally clear, and may Allah protect us from veering off the tangents where upon each and every pathway away from the sunnah is a shaitan summoning people to a path to hellfire. May Allah protect you and I from this. Allahumma ameen. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin fil awwaleen. Wa salli wa sallim wa zid wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammadin fil akhireen. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammadin fil mala'i al-a'la ya arhamar rahimeen. Allahumma allimna ma jahinna min al-Qur'an al-azim. Wa dhakirna minhu ma nusina. اللهم بارك لنا في القرآن العظيم اللهم اغفر لنا الذنوب كلها كبيرها وصغيرها يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد ونعيما لا ينفد وقرة عين لا تنقطع ومرافقة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في جنات النعيم اللهم ارزقنا شفاعة رسول الله اللهم اسقنا من يده الشريفة شربة لا نظمأ بعدها أبدا اللهم اجمعنا على الحوض يا رب العالمين اللهم اجمعنا على حوضه يا رب العالمين اللهم اجمعنا على حوضه يا رب العالمين اللهم اجعلنا هداة مهتدين اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى اللهم اجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى يا رب العالمين اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وعافنا واعف عنا وأكرمنا ولا تهنا وأسبغ علينا من نعمك العظيمة يا حنان يا منان يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا رافع السماء بلا عمد يا من أنت هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو يا رحمن يا رحيم يا قوي يا عزيز يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث فلا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا أقل من ذلك اللهم اهدنا واجعلنا من المهداة المهديين على طريق ومسلك وسنة خير النبيين محمد بن عبد الله النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وصلي اللهم وسلم وزد وبارك على حبيبك ونبيك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. وصل اللهم وسلم وزد وبارك على نبينا محمد.